right, how about we start in a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this time that we are able to get together, Lord. That we come together as a body, not just a fellowship, but to have this refreshing and renewing of our minds as well, Lord. That this word that you're going to hear from you today, Lord, is going to give us a new energy, going to flow through our lives as well. And we just thank you for this time that we are able to come together and just really listen to what you have for us and for your heart. We pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. All right, so I'll kick straight into it. You know, I have been praying about a word to share with this community, and it's amazing how God works. Because when he gives you a word, you can't ignore it. You know, you start hearing it in the sermons that you listen to. You start hearing it in the songs that you listen to. You start seeing it in the dreams and the visions that you have. And you know what? I've been sharing this word with a number of people within this community, and it's a great privilege and a pleasure to be able to share it today as a whole congregation as well. Are you excited, church? Are you ready for it? Fantastic. All right. So I want to kick it off. I've been reflecting on 2021 and 2022, and it's been massive years, right? We've had pandemic, we've had war, and we've had like a global financial crisis. But the amazing thing is, I think we are more connected than ever before. Our ways of working are fundamentally different, right? I've got people from overseas dialing in to work and connect. We've got Teams, we've got Zoom, we've got WebEx. We're able to connect with each other very differently than what we have. We're able to work from home and still connect. Am I right? Social media has exponentially increased. We've got Facebook, we've got Instagram. You know, we've got Twitter, we've got TikTok. You know, the first thing, I have a confession to make. The first time I heard about TikTok, I was thinking to myself, why would anyone want another alarm app on their phone? And I think some of you might still be thinking it's an alarm app on your phone as well. But social media has also exponentially increased. So we're better connected. But when I think about the world and people's mental state, what do we see there? That is also increasing. But it's increasing in a negative way. You know, after the first year of the pandemic, we actually see 25% increase in the number of people that are lonely, anxious, and have depression. And I've been reflecting on this, like through my quiet time, I've been reflecting through this. And what God has been saying to me is, even though we are better connected, we do not necessarily have connection. Let me say that again. Even though we may be better connected, we do not necessarily have connection. And I told you that this word that God has given me has culminated over several months. And it started off with this image. And we're going to make it interactive, right? Because I love about facilitating and doing workshops and stuff like that. I don't have to stand up here and talk. I can also pick people from the crowd as well. So I hope you're ready for it, energized. If you're not paying attention and falling asleep, then I'll probably call your name out. All right. So this is an image here. Can anyone tell me what's happening in this picture? Call out. What do you think what's happening in this picture? What was that, Grace? Playing Forbidden Desert? Yes, there's a game. We're playing a game. What else? COVID? Yes, COVID. And who are the people in the picture there? Kieran, yeah? Yes, that's my wife. It's not Green Lantern. She looks more like Shredder from Ninja Turtles there with the face mask. But this was about, you know, 4 to 5 months ago. And my son Kieran, probably like many of us, have contracted COVID before. And back then, the number of days you had to isolate was what? 7 days. Yes, exactly, 7 days. It was a terrible, difficult time, right? And you basically had to put someone physically separated if you wanted to go about your day-to-day life. And this is what we set up here. And Kieran, he's the one that actually had COVID, not Anna, and he was in a separate room. And it would have been very easy for us, right? Because we physically couldn't be there, it would have been easy for us to get our second set of parents to look after him. Anyone here have a second set of parents at home that can go in there and look after their kids? Oh, we must be the only blessed one. Oh, there's one couple there. I'm talking about screen time here, people. Ah, you see all the revelation? I told you, today on Sunday, we're going to have revelation. I'm talking about screen time, right? You know, when those emergency situations happen, you want a bit of peace and quiet, you give the kids the iPad or the screen, right? And we did. We gave Kieran screen time over those 7 days. We gave him about an hour a day. But you know what? After the first day, it was a great novelty. And then after the second day, he started to wane a bit. He started to get tired. He actually wanted us to be there. He wanted to converse with us. He wanted to spend time with us. He wanted physical connection. Even though he had screen time and he was connected, he was actually wanting connection. Are you getting me, church? And this is what we set up here. We got this table, coffee table at the front. And yes, like Ray said, like we played board games, all right? We had dinner there and we're able to talk, have conversations. And that's one of the great pastimes for the new ones. I'm not going to divert a little because it's quite funny. I love the fact that during this period of time watching my kids play board games, because my daughter, Mia, she's 8, Kieran's 11 years old, and when they play board games, they're quite competitive. But Kieran, more times than not, he tends to win the board games, but not during this period of time. Because when I was upstairs, I could hear downstairs Kieran going, "Mia, Mia, stop moving my pieces." And the Mia would turn around, "Well, too bad. There's nothing you can do about it. You've got COVID." He was stuck behind the door and she would move his pieces to take advantage of the situation. But that's not related to my sermon. So my sermon today is about connection. But in the spirit of board games and in the spirit of this connection, the title of my sermon today is Connect Four. You ready? Oh, so I did that animation there. So Connect Four, what? I was quite excited. Obviously, other people aren't that excited about that. So it was a bit of a, oh, thank you, thank you. Yes, Connect Four. So connect for what? And the focus of our sermon today is Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we're going to talk about this. I'm going to break it down to three key elements. I'm going to talk about our design. I'm going to be talking about our obstacles. And I'm going to be talking about our overcomer. Is that good, church? Are you with me still? Fantastic. All right, I'm going to start off with our design. Put your hands up right now for those that have played Connect Four before. Put your hands up. Yep, quite a few. Excellent. This game's been around for like 40, 50 years now. In the 1970s, it was actually designed. So it's been around for a while. It's considered a classic. But for those that haven't played, I'm just going to break down the rules for you because it's quite simple. You basically have two colored tokens, right? A red or a yellow token. And you've got this board here, this blue board that's basically vertical, and you drop those tokens in. And this, the very premise of the game is actually to make a connection of four tokens in a row. So you can do that horizontally, you can do that vertically, or you can do that diagonally. So what you need to do is get a connection of four before your opponent. The other premise of the game is you need to stop your opponent from getting the connection before you. And the way to do that is you will put your token, so if they had three in a row, you will put your token on, to obstruct them from building that connection. So that's the very premise of the game itself. Pretty simple, right? Mm-hmm. So what in the world, or how is that related to us? How is that related to us? Well, what happens if I told you by design, we were also designed for connection? You know, I told you that as God gave me this word, I can see it and hear it through the sermons. And the revelation also came back reinforced by Pastor Jeremy. You know, he's been preaching about what? Our salvation? History, right? And in the very first sermon that he talked about, he shared about creation. You know, when God created the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, the land, the plants and the animals, on the sixth day he created what? He created man. And we're going to go into scripture now. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says this. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust from the ground. And then he breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils. And the man became a living person. You know, I love that verse. You know, I always imagine, you know, God holding me, breathing this breath of life through my body. And I can feel his essence in every orifice of our body. Breathing the breath of life through us. But then we go down to verse 18, and then it says what? Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." When God created us, after he created us, he realized it was not good for us to be alone. It's not necessarily about survival, because we lived quite long, right? And I'm sure God could have kept creating atoms as one killed over, right? It wasn't necessarily about survival. We had water, we had food, we had everything that we needed. We even had a relationship with God. Don't forget that. Adam already knew God, right? He could speak with God directly. We already had a relationship with God. But when he created us, he realized that it was not good for us to be alone. He realized that we need relationships. He realized that we needed something deeper. He realized that we needed connection in his infinite wisdom. So why is it not good for man to be alone? Why is it not good for us to be alone? And I'm not talking about like having a partner here. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about colleagues. I'm talking about community here, church. Why is it not good for us to be alone? So we're going to talk about the main passage today. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. And we're going to look at the Amplified version. And it says, two are better than one. So fundamental premise, to have a relationship, you actually need another person. It's not about me, myself, and I, okay? That's not another person. You actually need someone else to have a relationship. And it says here in the first verse, because they have more satisfying return for their labor. Two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return for their labor. Has anyone heard the saying, teamwork makes the dream work? There are so many self-help books out there, right? That talks about teamwork, collaboration, doing things together. But we don't need that. We have the Bible. We have the living word right here, church. This is what it's talking about. We talk about, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, right? And what that saying is actually talking about is, as individuals, when we have our own skill sets and contributions, we can the aggregate sum of those things aren't as good as when we work collectively together. Because when we work together, we are able to collaborate, we are able to share, we are able to build on one another's knowledge and skills to create something more glorious for him. Are you getting me, church? This is what this verse is talking about. Two are better than one. And there's more satisfying rewards for their labor. Verse 10, for if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up. When we go out through our struggles, when we go through our difficult times, we need others to journey with us. We need others to walk through those challenges as well. You know, I am so thankful for my 421 group, for people within this community, for my life group as well. Because they don't realize it, but when I share the things that I'm going through, just with them there, just listening, just praying for those situations that we're going through, it's transformational. It builds life in there. I have them to exhort, encourage, and support through those times. I'm sure that many of you have been in those instances as well. This is what this verse is talking about, right? When one falls, you have another to lift them up. We go to verse 11. And again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? This is not Survivor. This is not Bear Grylls, okay? This is not a K-drama. We're not talking about body heat here, okay? Just making sure we're not talking about, you know, unclothing and having body heat to keep each other warm. What this verse is talking about is comforting each other in highs and lows, being there to comfort and to listen to each other. This is what this verse is talking about here. And finally, and though one can overpower him who is alone, overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. This is talking about safety and security. When we have more people surrounding us, we can defend against things that attack us. When we need that safety and security, you know, earlier this year, you know, the young adults actually invited my kids and Anna and I to do a bit of snorkeling at Scarborough Medham's pool. And It was awesome to watch, right? Because when we were out there, you know, Anna and I aren't great swimmers. We were struggling. And a number of the young adults came out there to help our kids. You know, I remember Josh and then Clement out there helping and pulling our kids out there as well. It's about this safety and security. So Anna and I decided to just quickly swim back and take a cruise across the Rottnest and leave our kids with them. No, I was just joking. We didn't do that, but it was great, right? And every time we go out with the community, I can be safe. I have security in the fact that I don't always have to watch my kids because I know others will also support. It takes a village to raise a child, right? And we are here as a village, as a family, and as a community to support in that. Not just in this community, but beyond as well. So these are the things. This is why God said it is not good for man to be alone. We talk about teamwork makes the dream work, supporting and exhorting each other, comforting each other in our time of needs, and safety and security. Is that good? You know, I've shared this testimony before, and I'm going to share it again because I think it's relevant to this. And, you know, God knows our heart even when we don't know it ourselves. God knows our heart and the need for connection even when we don't realize it ourselves. And I share with many people, I realize that I've been in the mining industry for now 16, 17 years. So it's been a long time. And 10 of those years, I actually did fly in, fly out. So I worked away for, you know, either 9 days, 2 weeks, and came back for a short period of time. And within those 10 years fly in, fly out, there was a small period that I was actually working in Perth for a couple of months until I got a job offer. So I got a job offer to go back to site, and it was in a promotion, right? It was in a manager's position. I was looking after one of the largest mine sites back then. And it was fantastic. It was a great opportunity. So Anna and I discussed it, and we said, yes, let's do this. Let's do this. So basically the night before, after I accepted the role, it was the night before I was going to fly back up to site to start my new role. And Anna and I was just sitting there, and Kieran was already in bed. And so he was around 2 years old then. And then I looked at Anna, and I had this inkling in my heart. And I said, when's the last time you had your period? I can say that right, Pastor. Yeah, when's the last time you had your period? And she goes, I don't know. I was like, I think we should get you tested. And she goes, what for? I was like, I don't know. I just have this feeling. So I rummaged through the drawers. I found an old pregnancy test, and then she tested it, and she was pregnant. But then we flipped it over, we looked at the expiry date, it's 2 years old, because we still kept it, and we're very thrifty. We kept it since Kieran. We had Kieran, it's like, it's expired, it must be false. So I ran out to the pharmacy, and I grabbed another one, and it was positive. So we were pregnant, Anna was pregnant with our second child, Mia, and I just accepted a role to go back on site. I was thinking, God, is this part of your plan? So I did go off. I did go back to site, and it wasn't an easy time, and it's probably another sermon to share. We only got a few minutes. But it was a challenging time, right? But in that period of time, I have to tell you, I did make great connections with the people on site as well, building relationships and so on. But it was challenging. And after 3 years, I felt it was time to get back. And Kieran was around 5 years old then. So that's Kieran there. Looks very cute there, I reckon. So with a little hard hat on and so on, that's not me. I actually used to be as fair as Jason there, but the Pilbara sun has actually made me a lot tanner than than most. So then, after, like, I was 3 years up there, and my boss sent out a job advert and saying, oh, was anyone interested in this role? And he didn't expect anyone to apply for it. And I said, yes, I'm interested, because I felt this yearning to go back to Perth. So I told my boss that then I decided to apply for this role. I was umming and ahhing for a while. And when I saw the advert, I applied for it. The application already closed. So it was 2 weeks old. So I decided to give the hiring lead a call. And I rung him up and said, look, I'm interested. Are you still okay to take my application? He said, no worries, Sang. Send it through. And then he sent through, went through the process. And then we had an interview. And we were preparing for like a two-hour interview. And I was prepping, right? I had all these questions, all these great examples of the things that you achieve and so on. And I walked in there, and after 20 minutes, he said, thanks, Sang, you're done. So after 20 minutes, he said, thanks, Sang, you're done. And I walked out of there thinking to myself, what the heck just happened? And they said, oh, look, you'll hear from me in a week or so's time. After a week went by, I didn't hear anything. After 2 weeks went by, I didn't hear anything at all. And one night, I was putting my son, Kieran, who was 5 years old then, I was putting him to bed. And I put him to bed, and he said to me, "Dad, or Daddy, I'm looking forward to seeing you at home every single night." And I tell you now, church, that broke my heart. That broke my heart, because I didn't have the emotional depth to be able to tell him that, you know, I didn't get this job, or I potentially didn't get this job. And then I said, and I prayed, and I said, "God, your will be done. If it is on site, then I will go back to site." But you know what, church? I thought to myself, I was a good believer. I was saying, I was surrendering it to God. But what I was really doing is I was lacking faith. I was boxing up God to what he could do. Because I was trying to bring him back to my reality, to what I've seen with the quick interviews, the applications not going through, right? I was boxing him in that position. I wasn't having faith there. That's a true confession there, right? But anyway, I was acting for my boss. He came back from overseas and he sat down with me when we were doing a handover. And my boss said to me, "Sang, I've got some news for you." And I said, "What?" And he said, "You've got the position that you applied for. You are the most preferred candidate. But I wanted to tell you myself." You can imagine my reaction to that, eh? No, it was good. I was thankful. I was thankful for that position. But you know what? Like I said, God knows our heart, even when we don't know it. He knows that we are yearning for that connection, right? He knows it is not good for man to be alone. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? So, if it's so good for us to be alone, what are the obstacles that get in our way? Why is it so difficult to build these connections? So, I want to go back to my Connect Four analogy right now. So, you can see here, like I said, the first premise, the main aim is to build a connection before your other opponents. But you also need to stop the opponent from building their own connection. So, you can see here as an example, you know, the red player here's got three, and the yellow has dropped one on top, and that blocks them from building a connection of four. So what are the obstacles in our lives that stop us from building a connection? There are many out there, but I'm going to go through my top three. Number one, I am too busy. All right, who here, when you ask someone how your week was, there are two common responses, right? One, "Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it was good. It was all right. It was good." The other one is, "It's been crazy. It's been hectic. I've been so busy." What do you reckon? When you ask someone, is that the common responses that you hear? We are so busy with life, right? But I want you to ask them, next time someone says to you, "I am so busy," or "It's been crazy," I want you to ask them, "Have you been fruitful? Have you been fruitful?" And I'm not talking about fruitful as in, have I delivered on this activity? Have I done these tasks, made more money, whatever else? When I'm talking about fruitful, I'm saying, have you spoken into someone's life? Have you spent time praying or building relationships and connections? Have you sat there listening to someone else? Because you know what, church? We can get so busy with the things of life, we forget about the things that actually bring life. We can get so busy with the things of life, we forget about the things that actually bring life. It is relationship and connections that bring life. It's not about doing more. It's about spending the quality time doing it with the people around you, journeying together. Are you getting me? And I love the story of Mary and Martha. You know, you can find it in the Gospels, you know, Luke chapter 10 or John chapter 11. And I'm not going to bring it up here, but I'm going to give you a bit of a gist of it. You know, Mary and Martha are sisters. They're living with their brother Lazarus. And Jesus comes to their home to visit them. And what's Martha doing? She is running around like crazy, cleaning up everything, cooking the food, prepping the house to make it perfect for Jesus. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha walks into the room and goes, "Jesus, what's going on? I'm doing all the work here, can't you see?" And my sister Mary is just sitting there, doing absolutely nothing. So how does Jesus respond to this? He says, Martha, all those things that you are concerned with, you should not be. But the one thing that you should be concerned with, Mary understands. Right? And this story here, this recount of what actually happened is not just about Mary being in the presence of Jesus and listening to his word. It's also about relationships. It's spending the time to talk and listen to one another, building and encouraging and exhorting. That's what it's talking about there as well. So I want to do a poll within the church. Like I said, I like this interactiveness, right? I want to ask you questions as well. So here's a poll for you. Do you think I'm a Mary or a Martha? So I'm going to ask you, be honest. I can take it. And those online, if you want to put a thumbs up or whatever else, you can do that online as well. So put your hands up if you think I'm a Mary. Well, there's a couple of hands that think I'm a Mary. I'm good. You know, I'm a preacher. I'm up here sharing, you know. All right. Put your hands up if you think I'm a Martha. Oh, wow. A lot of people resting right now don't want to put up their hands, but that's good. Okay, so it's about half-half on that side. Right, I'll share. I'm actually a Martha. You know, I'm so busy with everything at work, at home, at church. I'm doing a lot of things. And we have a saying at home with the new ones, all right? My version of being late is being 10 minutes early. I always like to be on time. People that traveled with me know. You know, my version of being late is being 10 minutes early. And I move from one thing to the other. And I always think to myself, you know, timeliness is next to godliness. But that's not true. That's my justification for being early. I'm not necessarily spending it on the things that God actually wants me to spend it on. Are you getting me, church? My wife, Anna, is more like Mary. You know, she is busy as well, don't get me wrong. She has lots of things that she's doing with volunteering and church staff and with other things that she has to take care of our household. She is busy, but I can tell you now, she is more fruitful. When she volunteers at pantry, she spends time speaking into people's lives, praying for them, understanding their situations. For people at school, you know, mums, dads, whatever else, you know, she knows them. She spends time with that relationship. Even people within this community, you know, she would spend time seeking out them and spending time building relationship and connection. She is more of a Mary than I am. Because we get so busy with the things of life, we forget the things that actually bring life. Number one. Number two. All right. I don't know how. Okay. I get this a lot as well. When I talk to people, you know, to connect with others, I don't know how. It's my personality type. I'm shy. You can see I'm shy, right? I'm shy. I'm an introvert. I don't know what to say. You can imagine someone new coming in to our community right now. You imagine someone new coming in. Do you reckon it's more difficult for them to say hello to someone in here or more difficult for us to reach out and say hello to them? Right? But we say sometimes, like, we can't do these things because we're introverted. But I can tell you now, it is not good for us to be alone. God is referring to all of us. We still need that connection, right? And I'll share with you a story. You know, I caught up with Kui and Grace a couple of months ago. And I was chatting to Kui, and I don't know if you've met his youngest daughter, Asha. You know, she's about 4 or 5. She generally, like, runs to the front, does dancing when we're worshipping and stuff like that, right? She's quite an extrovert. But Kui's quite introverted, right? He likes to keep to himself. And when he takes Asha on public transport or to the shops and stuff like that, he would like to, you know, do his thing and come back. But he can't do that with Asha. Because when he goes with Asha, Asha will be running up to strangers. And she'll be going, "Hi, I'm Asha. What's your name? What are you doing? Where's my dad?" And Kui will be going, "Oh my gosh, hopefully she doesn't see me." When he tells me this, I'm imagining that scene from Jurassic Park. Has anyone seen that? Jurassic Park before? You know the T-Rex? And they say, "If you don't move, he won't be able to see you." And I can imagine Kui right now just still like this, she won't be able to see me. But he pulls, you know, she'll go, oh, there you are, Dad. And he'll grabs Dad along, and Dad will come out there, and the people go, oh, your daughter is so friendly. She's so nice. And Queen's like, yeah, she's so friendly. She's so nice. But, you know, people will bring, you know, God will bring people into your lives to help you connect. And I honestly believe that they brought Asher into their lives to build that connection as well. And I imagined, you know, when I was prepping for this sermon, I imagined right now our whole community being a community of Ashers. Grace is like shaking her head. A whole community of Ashers right now. And you can imagine when someone walks through that door, I run up to them and say, hi, my name is Sang. This is my brother David. This is my brother Kelvin or my sister Ev. You know, you can imagine that. What are you doing? How was your week? You can imagine that warmth that you would feel right now, that comfort and warmth that we were talking about, right? This is what I'm talking about as community. This is what I'm talking about in relationships there. Is this good? Are you getting something? All right. Number three. Now, this is a pretty tough one. You know, I have been hurt. This is very real, right? This is very real. Sometimes relationships aren't easy. Even though we are made for that connection by God's infinite wisdom, He knows it's not good for us to be alone. It's not always easy. Because relationships, there are times when things hurt. It could be from leadership. It could be from friends, from family, anywhere, right? It does hurt. And we're going to talk about, you know, what we need to do. How do we respond to that? But I love, I listened to a preacher at the Beyond Conference last month or so, and he was sharing, like, you know, sometimes our mentality is fundamentally different to our beliefs. Sometimes when we say we seek forgiveness, we actually aren't. Because I can't forgive that person until they say sorry to me. I can't forgive that person until they repaired what they've actually done. You know what, church? That's not forgiveness. That's justice. You're looking for that payback in those scenarios there. You're not forgiving out of the grace and love of who you are in Him, right? You are seeking a response there. That is not forgiveness. That is justice. I'm going to be bold, Pastor. You said to be bold, right? I want to speak into this moment right now. I know some of us are feeling that pain, but let me share with you. The pain is real, but I can tell you now it is not forgiveness there. You are seeking that apology that comes through, but there is no grace and love in that. It could be even worse. It could be very subtle. This is quite overt. But there are times when it could be really covert and we don't even realize it. We talk about, I have forgiven that person, right? But I can't be in the same room with them. I've forgiven them. I'm all okay. But we can't breathe the same air together. That's not forgiveness. I know people that come up to me and say, like, you know, it's been 2 or 3 years, and they said, yep, it's all good now. It's all good. But every conversation I have with them, they're bringing up the incident that happened 2 to 3 years ago. This becomes a chain. This becomes a bondage to our growth of knowing who He is. We haven't let go of things because that chain and that bondage holds us down. We aren't able to release our heart to have that overflow in love to others when we ourselves are bondaged by this pain. Are you seeing this, church? And we sometimes don't even realize it. Like I said, it could be covert. We don't realize that we are saying and doing these things. But that's why we need a community. That's why we need a village to be able to speak into our lives, even when we don't want to hear it. Because that's how we grow as a community. Wow. I have been hurt. So those three things there are the common ones that I see are obstacles. And I'm sure there are many obstacles that everyone faces in their lives. I'm sure there are many obstacles as well, more than these here. And I encourage you, outside of this, talk about it as a family. What are the obstacles in your life to build that connection? Talk about in your life group. What are the obstacles that I have to be able to connect with people at work, to be able to connect with others in the community as well? All right, the last point. I've been talking about our design, you know. God knew it was not good for man to be alone. We talked about the obstacles, these things that block us from building that connection. And now we're going to talk about our overcomer. And you can see here, this person has managed to build a connection of a four there. And that's our overcomer. He wants us to have this connection as well. So I want to talk about two elements here, church, this afternoon. The first one is connection in Christ. Connection in Christ. It sounds very cliche, right? We talk about it, you know. When we ask kids a question, the answer is Jesus. But the answer is Jesus. It doesn't get much simpler than that. And it's not just about the words that we read through the Bible. It's not just through prayer, but it's actually looking at the way Jesus lived his life. Looking at how he responded to those situations. That is our book of life. When we soak in that time and in his word and understanding, we can see what builds and what doesn't. I can tell you now, when we go back to forgiveness and we talk about forgiveness, one person that is justified for not forgiving is Jesus. Right? His disciples deserted him. Peter denied him three times, right? Peter denied him three times. Even Jesus said the night before he was betrayed, he said to Peter, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." And Peter says, "Not a chance, Jesus. I love you too much. I'm not going to betray you. I'm not going to deny you." And what actually happened? He denied Jesus three times. And we all know that story. But what actually happened afterwards? How did Jesus respond to that? Did he say, "Oh, I'll find another disciple that won't deny me. I'll find someone else to do my bidding or my calling for them"? No. We know in the Gospel of John, in I think it's chapter 21, we know that when Jesus was resurrected, after he died on the cross, he was resurrected. On the third time, he actually met the disciples. He was out there and he helped them catch some fish. And the net broke and all the fish went everywhere, whatever else. And then he was on the shore. And it's on the shore and he was with Simon Peter at the time. And he was talking to Simon Peter, right? He didn't bring up guilt. He didn't belittle him or hold a grudge. No, he actually restored Peter. What did he say? He actually said to Peter, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep and feed my sheep." He restored Peter to his position. He called Peter and empowered Peter to go out there and make disciples of nations, to build and establish the church. He did this through grace and love. When Jesus was on the cross, you know, he was dragged through the streets. He had the crown of thorns. He was up there on the cross. What did he say? Did he say, "Father, smite all these people, because they have betrayed me, they have hurt me"? No, what he said is, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He had every right. He was justified in his right to ask for his father just to smite everyone, for vengeance, for an apology. But no, he asked the Father, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He restored Peter into a position. He spoke life into Peter. Do you imagine right now, church, if you have those pains and those difficulties in the relationships that you have, when you have been hurt, you can imagine right now, you go to that person, you forget about that, and you speak life into them. How transformational is that? And I can tell you now, it is not something that we can do. It is not something that we can do by ourselves, but it's what we can do through him, knowing who we are. Because the world teaches us, you know, an eye for an eye, right? They did this to me, so I need to do something back. But God's world is an upside down world. He teaches us, when we have been hurt, to teach it with grace and love, to restore life into people, to invest time in that connection. This is what he teaches us. Connection in Christ. Number two, connection in community. Connection in community. I love this. Like when we serve together, we're able to build that connection as well. And we serve together as a body of Christ. It's not just about doing, it's about being present with one another, serving what he's called us to do. And I love these pictures up here. And this is up the top there. You can see the people from our church, you know, serving at Eagle City Mission. And what I love about this is not the fact that we're just serving, but we're serving as a body of Christ. You know, I said to you, like a few of us went to the Beyond Conference, and in there, a couple of the preachers saying, wouldn't it be great if a number of us churches, there's eight of us churches, got together and did something together? And you know, right now, First Light as a church are doing things with other churches. And it's not always easy. Everyone does something differently in their own way. But it's the servant heart that we come together. And it's great the fact that we don't have to create, we don't have to compete. There is so much need in this world. If you look around, you look outside, there is so much need in this world. We don't need to compete with each other to do more things. But we need to walk and journey with each other to do those things. I love the fact that Pastor Basil and Yvonne, you know, God has called them to reach out to the homeless, to the destitute in the city of Perth. And we don't have to come up with a campaign to do that. We can walk alongside them. You know, we can do these things. You know, I love, like, you know, James and Michelle, they're constantly cooking behind the scenes. And you can see, you know, it's great that when we are there talking to people, we can see the fruits of their labor, the smiles on people's face, the nourishment that they get, not just in the food, but in the conversations. This is what we're talking about here. There's so many people here serving in that. We can see it's more than just us as individuals, as a church congregation. It's about breaking down those walls. It's seeing ourselves as a body in Christ. We talk about connection in community through fellowship, through spending time, through our 4-2-1s, through our life groups, through just coming together, through our pizza in the park. That is connection there. That is connection there. We can't let the barriers get in those ways. You know, I've been reflecting on it. If my kids look at me, right, what do I want to role model to them? What do you want to role model for the other generation? Do we want to show them that, you know, to sustain life is doing one thing after the other, is doing more things? Or is it about, or one activity to the next activity? Or is it about building relationships, building connections? It's about journeying with people. It is about people. When we can show that the investment in time that we have in each other, those are the things that are going to sustain them. Because when they see that in their time of need, when things don't go wrong and things are inevitably not always going to go right, they know they can rely on this person. They know they can rely on this friend, this uncle, this auntie. They know that if they invest time in the relationships they have, they will have people that will walk and journey with them as well. I want to invite the worship team up here right now. And this just doesn't focus on our community as a church. You know, I've heard people say, well, it's all well and good, you know, it's a church thing, you know. It'll be great if it's just a church thing, but we can influence outside. We can influence with our community, with the people that we connect to on a day-to-day basis as well. It just doesn't have to be on Sundays or when something organises an event. Here's a couple of photos for you. These are the people that I work with, you know. I spend, you know, 5 days a week or so, sometimes six, with the people here at work. You know, at the top there, you can see us making food for the homeless as well. On the right-hand side, right, left, however, you can see us out in Scarborough, and we're actually picking up weeds, you know, clearing the habitat to allow the vegetation, you know, looking after the planet that we're living on. And there, we're doing dim sum. Very good, eh? We're doing dim sum there as well. And And people say, well, you need to keep those boundaries clear, Sang. You know, you need to keep those boundaries clear because, you know, I'm their leader. I can't associate with them as their leader. But you know what, church? I want to break that myth down. We can still speak into people's lives. We can still build a connection. Even if we're a leader, even if we're a team member, it doesn't matter. It's what you want to invest time in. I think those are an obstacle that we put in front of us. But they, like everyone else, go through their own troubles. They all go through those own challenges. And I have been blessed for an opportunity to be able to sit and journey and speak into their lives as well. This is what I want to challenge us today. This is what I want to challenge and stretch us and speak boldly into the lives of each and every one of you. Because I can tell you now, 2023, it's going to be a year of connection. We're going to spend time connecting as a community and beyond the four walls of this church. You know what, church? I told you that this word has been emphasized through the preaching, through the sharing, through the connections, but also through the visions and dreams. So I want to share with you the vision that God gave me. You know what I saw when I was praying to Him, I could see chains, these chains that are wrapped around the earth, at all aspects of the earth, these chains. And these chains have this glow, this light that's on each shackle, each link of that chain. And all of a sudden, that chain broke. And what remained was the light that connected everyone. And I felt God saying to me, you know, He is the light and salt of this earth. We as a community, as churches out there, are sometimes chained by our own uniqueness, but we should be celebrating our diversity. Celebrating our diversity and our unity in who He is. You can imagine right now, with all the things that have happened, if our churches got together and did something, showed the world what it means to be in Him. This is the dream that God was giving me. And I think this is the dream and the vision that He has for the churches of Perth and all over the world. That we are connected by Jesus. We don't have to worry about us doing things differently. We should be celebrating. We do things differently, but we're doing it for Him. It is not for our glory. It's not for the things of what we see. There is so much need in there, but when we can extend our reach, our resources, our love, and our grace, how much better will this world be? How much better would this world be? So let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You for this time that we are able to gather together as a community here or online. Where the world may seem to be connected, Lord, that we are seeking connection. We want to break down the walls and barriers that we have in our hearts. Things that stop us from building that connection. We are too busy. We don't know how, but God, we know You know how. We know You know how. And we have a community to help us through that too. We have a village to connect with, to help us grow. And with all those hurts and pains that we may feel, God, I just want to say we are surrendering that to You. That those pains that we are shackled and bonded to, we want to release that right now in Your name. We want to rest that pain in You, and we know that Your grace and love flows through us because You breathe that breath of life through every orifice of our body. That we know Your Spirit rejuvenates and refreshes, and know that with You, all things are possible. Thank you, church.